Yes, oh, that's right. And so I want to thank her for her service and wish her well in her journey. So it is Labor Day. No, it's not.
Monday.
It's a Labor Day weekend, yes. This weekend brought to you by?
Unions.
Unions, yes. So, in honor of this Labor Day weekend, I wanted to sing a couple of songs from the labor movement. This one is a modern one. It's written by a group of folks working to try and end class oppression here in the United States. So some of you, how many of you have sung this with me before? Some of you may have. Okay, so you're just going to repeat after me until we get, and it goes like this. We shall not give up the fight, we have only started, we have only started, we have only started. Try it out.
We shall not give up the fight, we have only started, we have only started, we have only started.
And then repeat after this. We shall not give up the fight, we have only started,
we have only started, we have only started.
And then the second verse is the same music, just different words. And we always sing it through twice. Okay? You ready? Let's try it.
We shall not give up the fight. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. We shall not give up the fight. We have only started. We have only started. We have only started. Together we'll have victory. Hand holding hand. Hand holding hand, hand holding hand. Together we'll have victory. Hand holding hand, hand holding hand, hand holding hand.
Good job. And the next song is an old, one of the oldest ones from the early 1900s. It ends with, "Give us bread and give us roses." This was from a strike of women after a factory had burned down and killed almost 300 women and girls. And the women had started protesting. They actually tried to send their children out of town, and the children were blocked from getting on the trains to get up to safety by the police. And so after this happened, somebody was interviewing one of the women, and she said, "We want bread, yes, but we want roses, too." And from her words, this song was created. Anybody know this one?
Yep.
Yes, we got some folks. Yeah, it's a pretty popular one. We're going to hear it through once, and then we'll start singing.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Yomi Kinder. We are a unique place. In the words of Reverend Chris Schreiner. Thank you. Schreiner, every Unitarian Universalist has the right to develop a personal philosophy of life without being told what to believe. We can learn from all philosophies and religion, and also from science and the arts. We explore life issues in a caring community, united by shared values rather than shared theological opinions. And no matter what we do believe about theology or philosophy, we try to live a good life and leave the world better than we found it. I offer you my welcome, and in particular those who are first-time visitors. We welcome you and especially encourage you to join us after worship for coffee and conversation. Information about the church is available from the new members' desk during coffee hour and from any of the people here gathered. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you are here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery, which is not professionally staffed at the moment, but it is available. And at the front of the church, we do have our spirit chair for the children to, or
people
anyone.
Of all ages.
Yes, children of all ages to come. So we welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. We do have some announcements today. The first is from Robin Strangequist.
Strangequist.
The grounds committee will meet next Saturday, September 12th, from 10 to 1. Yes, sorry, 9 to 1. Please bring your own gloves and tools. Yard waste bags will be provided. The grounds committee is collecting Alton limestone for edging the garden. Please leave them on the side of the building, the east side of the building, which over here. And do you love Dr. Seuss? The elementary RE program wants readers and leaders to share their love of Dr. Seuss with our children. Please speak with Ed Navarre if you are interested. And we have a message from the search committee. Nancy?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy Kniff. I'm co-chair of the Ministerial Search Committee, and I'm personally inviting all of you to come to our fabulous Beyond Categorical Thinking in 2 weeks on September 20th. This program was developed by the UUA to help us be aware of and hopefully help us override personal biases and discriminations we may have during the search for our new minister. Pardon me. Think of a minister, don't think of an elephant. Does that sound familiar to anybody? That is actually an article that is in our newsletter that further describes what this program is about and how it operates. Gives us some further background on it. This is an excerpt from that article. Ministers in our faith who are people of color, bisexual, gay, lesbian, female, transgender, differently abled, young, old, ethnically different, or of a different class. All of those credentialed ministers still face discrimination as part of the ministerial search process. That is why this program was designed. Our facilitator will lead the Sunday service from 10 to 11 on the 20th, so not next weekend, but the following weekend, followed by a free and fabulous pasta and salad dinner luncheon that the whole search committee is making for you. And then after that, from 12 to 3, yes, it's 3 hours, but it's three fabulous hours, there's going to be the workshop and conversation. We will be providing free childcare for wee ones and ask that parents please use your judgment on the maturity of your children for attendance in the workshop. If you think they're immature enough, they're absolutely welcome because this is going to be an enlightening time. This is going to be a fabulous connecting time. Let's see, now I lost my place. Be sure to sign up on the sheet out in the Kate Worker Room or on the Facebook UU Friends page, including how many are attending from your family and how many children need care. The deadline for that is Thursday the 17th, so that we have adequate food and childcare staff. We need to make sure we have enough. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask any of us on the search committee, and we truly hope to see you there. As a reminder also, please help the search committee understand what you need, want, and don't want in our future minister. You do that by completing the survey. And that's due Friday the 18th. So we hope to see you there on the 20th, and have a good day.
Good morning, everyone. As was said, the Spirit Table is for all ages. I still have artwork that adults made for me in my last congregation from the Spirit Chair, so I encourage the adults here gathered to grab items and see if they can beat the last congregation. Few things. One, I do highly recommend the Beyond Categorical Thinking Workshop. It is an important step in the search process, and I am aware that Daisy's wedding is that day at 3, and so we're going to have to be aware that some folks may need to leave early, including me being the efficient. So we'll be aware of that, and we will do our best to negotiate those two events together. This Wednesday is the beginning of the Reigning Love Workshop. This is a workshop talking about diversity and countering oppression. It is an 8-session series every other week, beginning this Wednesday and going through December 15th. If you wish to participate in the series, you have to attend the first class. I'm sorry, that's not in any way optional. So if you're interested in that, please sign up for it on the Facebook page or let me know, and plan on seeing you Wednesday at 7. Also on September 11th, we will begin our race film series with the movie Selma. And we will have a conversation about that movie afterwards. In October, our movie will be Fruitvale Station. And with that, next Sunday is our homecoming in-gathering service, and it is our water communion service. For those of you who are new to our congregation, each year we have a Sunday in which we bring water that is spiritually significant to us. Maybe it's from places that we've traveled in a prior year, maybe it's from the garden hose of someone who has passed on that we love most dearly, perhaps it's from our own garden or our own faucet, whatever it may be, we do invite you to bring your water next Sunday, and don't worry if you forget, there will be water here for you. And with that concludes this morning's announcements. We begin this morning with a prelude. Thank you.
Our call to worship today is the words of Reverend Peter Morales, president of the Unitarian Universalist Association. If religion is ultimately about what we love, then faith is not so much about what we think is true or hope is true, despite lack of evidence, but about being faithful to what we love.
There's a ghost in the microphone. As Amoria and Devin come forward to light our chalice, I invite you to join in the chalice lighting words and actions. We light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
Please join in reading the congregational Hear Covenant. To strengthen and nurture our welcoming community with love, compassion, and respect, we covenant together to honor and make space for our diversity, respect our volunteers, leaders, and staff by supporting balance in their lives and in their personal and professional pursuits. Encourage each member to develop a personal spiritual practice that cultivates honesty and acceptance. Remembering our humanness, we acknowledge our imperfection and extend forgiveness to ourselves and others. Engage with our own and the larger community with integrity by taking responsibility for our actions, facilitating right relationships, and living into the journey. This year, we begin a practice of singing one hymn for an entire month. This is to help us build up our repertoire of hymns as a congregation and to learn new hymns that we may not know well. September's hymn of the month fits with our monthly theme of faith. We offer our gratitude to Joy Heff for introducing us to this hymn during the summer. Please rise as your bodies and spirits allow and join in singing, If I'm a Unitarian Universalist. This hymn is not in the hymnal, so please follow along on the screen.
And I believe Joy is going to come forward and, where is she? Oh, there she is. And help us with this. We can do it from down here, just stand close to it. All right, we're going to hear it play through on the piano once, and then we'll start singing. And remember what we've learned. Sing from the belly. And it doesn't matter what you actually say. It matters how you sound. So if you're not quite able to keep up with the words, la, la, la works. Just keep going. Okay? All right, here we go.
If I'm a universal.
be seated. Tree! Yes, thank you. Okay. So, as many of you are aware, we're beginning the concept of a theme of the month. Each month, for the next 9 months through until May, we'll have a different theme. And this month's theme is faith, which I know for Unitarian Universalists, particularly those of you who've been part of the Unitarian Universalist faith for a long time, is sometimes a difficult word to be in relationship with. Any of you find you have a little tense relationship with that word faith, it's okay if you do. It's kind of, I think, a Unitarian Universalist thing to have some folks who are cool with things and some folks who are not, because we believe in diversity, right? So each month in the monthly newsletter and around places, there will be recommendations for books for all ages. And this is the book recommendation for our children. And actually, I recommend it for all ages. It is just a beautiful book full of amazing pictures. And so let's learn about, what's the word?
Faith.
What's going on there?
Prayer.
How do you know it's prayer? It's written on the slide. I knew somebody. And for those of us who can't read, how do you know? Hands together. What else? Eyes closed. Meditation. Yeah. What's going on here? What's it say? Meditation, yes. A Buddhist novice meditates in his monastery in Burma. You may know where Burma is. Long ways away, right? So in our world, there are many faiths. We celebrate our faiths in many ways. What are they doing there? They're praying, but what else are they doing? They're putting candles, that's right. And they're making offerings. This is a shrine in Burma. This is a Buddhist practice, making an offering by lighting a candle. Does that look familiar to us at all? I look at our chalice and I think, that's interesting. We pray. We chant and we sing. And you'll see a boy there chanting the Torah. What's the Torah from? From the Old Testament. From the first five. The original five. From Judaism, right? And then there's a group of girls who are there. It's okay, people can speak. We're not going to shush people during the story. Children singing on the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And do we remember from last month where Muhammad comes from? Islam? Do folks remember that? Yeah? Okay. Oops. What's going on there? They're Christian, yes, you can read that. And they're singing, right? In a Syrian Orthodox service. And all that news we've been hearing, how much have we heard about Syrian Christians? Somebody studying the Quran and holding a rosary, and young Buddhists reading what they call the sutras. Do we as Unitarian Universalists read things? Mm-hmm. Do we have one thing that we read? No. Why not? We have lots of things that we read. Because a lot of people believe in different things. That's exactly right. We read our holy books. What's going on here? Sunday school. Even if you couldn't read the words, how would you know that this was Sunday school? Table and chairs. There's a teacher, yeah. There's an adult, right? And younger folks.
Don't we often learn about different kinds of faiths by listening to people who are older than us, more experienced and wiser, no matter how old we are? Yeah. So we listen and we learn from others. Sometimes people our own age, sometimes people older, sometimes people younger, the people all the world around. And we cleanse ourselves. How many of you have purified yourself through incense or through sage or something like that? Yeah. What about through water? Any other things we might cleanse ourselves with?
Fasting.
By not eating food, yes. There's all kinds of ways that we might cleanse ourselves. It's not a practice that all Unitarian Universalists engage in, but a lot of you use, believe in the power of water. In fact, in some ways, our water bowl is a way of cleansing, right? So we cleanse our joys and our sorrows into the world. And there are holy places that people visit. The top one is the Black Hills in South Dakota, which is sacred to the Lakota peoples there. Huh? Yeah, well, the parts of the Badlands that were not habitable and didn't have anything of value, there's still Native Americans there. So, but it is true that most of the Badlands, the sacred place, have been taken from the Native peoples. Is there a sacred place for Unitarian Universalists? Yes. Boston, right. Yes. In fact, I was speaking with the Unity minister yesterday. It was officiating a memorial service here, and she said, so you have like a teaching place like here in St. Louis? And I couldn't understand what she said. I mean, she says, is there a place that's, you know, sacred to Unitarian? I'm like, Boston, I think? But then this is a church that was part of the Western Conference back in the 1800s, which meant this church didn't like Boston and tried to set up its own thing, so then we have our own, like, unique thing as Westerners. Anyway, it's fun. Anybody know what that tree is called? Go ahead, Ed. It's hard to see. It's a Bodhi tree. The Bodhi tree is sacred to Buddhists because Buddha sat beneath a Bodhi tree to receive his wisdom. We observe holidays in our homes or places of worship. What holidays do you see up there? Hanukkah, yeah. We do this other one here at this church. Dia de los Muertos. It's no fair getting your dad to tell you that ain't right. Dia de los Muertos, that's right. And the next. And what are these holidays? The first one's called Shichi-go-san. Okay. And that's a Shinto passage.
Yeah. 3 and 5.
3 and 5, yes. It's a Shinto practice in Japan. And making an offering at a Jain ritual. Have anybody heard of Jains? It's religion. And we celebrate with festivals. We Unitarian Universalists like to party, do we not? Yes. Celebration is an important part of faith for all kinds of reasons. What celebrations do you see up there? Buddha's birthday. And Buddha's birthday is celebrated on different days all over the world. It's not the same day anywhere. And Diwali, has anybody gone to a Diwali celebration? If you ever get to go, it is worth it. It is lots of food, lots of music. It is awesome. Yes. And the next one? When we celebrate important events in our lives, anybody tell me what this one's about? It's Easter in Guatemala. How many of you first saw that and thought Native American? That's kind of a easy assumption to make, but this is a Guatemalan Easter mask. And this is a Lakota girl doing, or I'm sorry, an Apache girl doing the sunrise ritual, sharing the important story of creation. How was the world made? What other important events do you see being marked up there? How many of you have done First Communion as a kid? Yes. Yes, I know we have some recovering Catholics in the room. Yeah. And some who are comfortably identified as Catholic as well. Also in Judaism, in many communities, when you're 3 years old as a boy, you get your hair cut for the first time. It's considered a sacred thing because God gave you your hair, and to cut it is a ritual unto itself. We show our faith through what we wear. What are they wearing in that picture? A hijab. The girls are wearing hijabs, which is meant to be an act of humbleness in Islam. That kid's wearing a hat. We have these here in Missouri, I think. I know we do in Illinois and Indiana. Are there Mennonites here in Missouri and Illinois? Well, here in Missouri. There is in Illinois. I knew that, but Missouri I didn't know. Yes. So that's a Mennonite boy. And then a young Hindu boy wearing what's called a sanket, which is just a great word. Can you say sanket? Sanket, yes. And a Buddhist girl with a Tanaka face paint. And a boy who's wearing a patka, which is a form of Sikh headdress. What do adult Sikhs carry that's pretty unique? A knife, a ritual knife, that's right. And through what we eat and what we drink. What is she making there? Challah, yes. I think that the Jewish community probably has the most unique when it comes to food. Everything from sauerkraut, blah, to challah and apples and honey, which, hello, yes. Can't go wrong with apples and honey, right? And then what's the other picture of? What's communion? Somebody drinks? Right. A large number of people eating and drinking and celebrating some special thing. What are they celebrating? Depends on the religion. Not all of them actually believe they're eating the actual blood and body of Christ, but yes. It is a little interesting, but the idea is that you're eating the bread and drinking of the wine in memory of Jesus. For some, it's in memory of the ritual that Jesus offered his disciples nearing his death, and for others, they believe it is actually the body and blood of Christ, which is an interesting idea. And in Islam, for a whole month, they're not allowed to eat between sun up and sundown. Can you imagine not eating for 14 or 15 hours anything? No? But guess what? When the sun goes down, do they eat and do they party? It is a celebration for an entire month. So yes, they fast and they cleanse themselves and then they celebrate Allah and celebrate the glory of the universe. We care for those around us and the lives that have sustained us. What's going on here? Even if you ignore the words, what does the picture tell you? These two kids are friends, right? They seem to like each other, right? Would you guess that they're of different religious traditions? A Christian and a Muslim girl in Uganda? So we respect others, making friends and building peace together. And we give to others. And we help those in need. Do we do that in this community? Yes. Yeah? You try, right? And what's going on here? They're happy and smiling, right? All different religions, all kinds of different ways of believing and having faith. And most of all, we hope, whatever our faith and tradition may be, we hope for the future. For those of you who are interested more about the book, there's more detailed information at the back and examples of words in different religious communities. I highly recommend it. It's just a beautiful book. They did a great job with it. Ah, so faith. that messy, complicated word. Anybody tell me what faith means?
Belief in something.
Belief in something. That's one definition of it, yes.
Hope.
Hope. You can certainly have faith in hope, right? Robin? Mm-hmm. Commitment. Robin?
I think it's belief in something you can't see.
Belief in something you can't see. Others?
Reliance.
Reliance. That definitely takes a lot of faith to rely, right? I know that many of you don't read my monthly newsletter article. And I'm fine with that. But if you do read it, one of the things that I did was I looked at the dictionary definitions. And of course, one of them is kind of a belief in a religion, and oftentimes things we can't see. But I think the other definition that was listed is probably more useful to Unitarian Universalists in our diversity of existence. And that is trust in someone or something. Trust in someone or something. For example, I'm a humanist. I own it. I don't necessarily believe in a god. I definitely believe in science. But I have to trust that the scientists know what they're talking about, because there is no way that I, Sunshine, personally, will ever be able to use mathematics or science or anything else to be able to prove the existence of neutrinos or the Big Bang or anything like that. I have to trust people that those are facts that are true, right? I have to have faith in them. I have to have faith in the scientific community, faith in their ability to use reason, faith in my own ability to use reason to discern which ones are a little outside of the box and which ones are legitimate, right? We each have our own ways of looking at faith and of wisdom. If you believe in God, you take it on faith, right? You have to have trust in someone or something that you may or may not be able to see, right? I'd like everybody just to be patient, stay seated, okay? Where do you need to be? Floor or chair? Floor? Okay. Mike has a seizure disorder. It's something that can't be treated. He had told me this might happen, and he told us not to call the police unless it lasts a certain long, mere period of time or he stops breathing. So he's okay. We'll keep an eye on him. Just invite you to take a minute and offer him some healing thoughts and blessings and prayers, okay? Can you go ahead and do the reading?
Our reading today is from Teaching a Stone to Talk by Annie Dillard.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you say to the woods, to the sea, to the mountains, the world, now I am ready. Now I will stop and be wholly attentive. You empty yourself and wait, listening.
Okay, I wish Lucy were here. Okay, just want to make sure he was
After a time, you hear it. There is nothing there. There is nothing but those things only, those created objects, discrete, growing or holding or swaying, being rained on or raining, held, flooding or ebbing, standing or spread. You feel the world's word as a tension, a hum, a single chorused note, everywhere the same. This is it. This hum is the silence. The silence is all there is. It is the Alpha and the Omega. It is God's brooding over the face of the waters. It is the blended note of the 10,000 things, the whine of wings. You take a step in the right direction to pray in this silence, and even to address the prayer to world. Distinctions blur. Quit your tents. Pray without ceasing.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who has experience with seizures? Larry's not been around it before, and I'd like somebody to be with him who has, if you'd be willing to just be with him for a minute. I appreciate that. Thank you. Like I said, he's fine, but it's still. Seizures are pretty scary if you've never seen them before. Okay. So we'll just keep our healing thoughts towards him. And I actually think this is a fine example of faith, right? I don't think that we could get any more deep into what faith means. It means trust in someone or something. Mike trusted this community enough to know that he could come to church. He trusted enough to meet with me to let me know what was going on. I trust in you enough to know that you'll be patient. And I trusted that there'd be somebody here who kind of knew what was going on and could be supportive and caring, right? For Unitarian Universalists, that for us is really the ultimate form of trust, because we can't know if things are going to be okay. We can't know, but we trust that being together in community and supporting each other, we're going to be okay. Whether we believe in a God or whether we believe in the absolute rules of science, whatever our beliefs may be, personally, as a community of faith, we place our trust in something other than just ourselves. That ultimately is what faith is about. A religion is concerned with what we might call the big questions about the meaning of life and death, how we understand our place in the cosmos, and whether there is some ultimate reality to which we relate or belong. And for some folks, that word ultimate reality means, what does ultimate reality mean to you? Anyone? Could be God. What else? The universe, right? Like all of creation together, right? For some, ultimate reality is the earth. For some, it's their own experience. Richard Niebuhr called religion a kind of ligature by which we bind ourselves to divinity, or that which bestows wholeness, and by which we seek to bridge the distance that separates us from what is supreme in worth. What gives us wholeness? What do you have faith in that gives you a sense of wholeness, particularly in those times of uncertainty? Because it's fine to kind of have faith in things when everything's kind of good and you know you got your facts straight. It's when what you think you know is called into question. That's when faith becomes most prominent. What gives you a sense of wholeness when everything else falls apart? What gives a mother a sense of wholeness when they lose a child? Or a child when they lose their parent? What gives a person a sense of wholeness when they have an illness that they can't control? What gives us a sense of wholeness in the face of the death of numerous young black men and the violence then received by police officers and the violence towards refugees, and the violence that we face every day. What gives us faith? That is our core question today. Each week we take some time with those joys and sorrows that live in our lives by taking stones from a bowl and placing them in the cleansing waters of this community. The water that we gather each year annually becomes the water in which we cleanse our stones in a cycle that allows us to bless and cleanse each other. And so I invite you to come forward at this time and take a stone in joy or sorrow, in celebration or loss, in remembrance, in a ritual of joy and sorrow. We place a stone in our healing waters for Mike as he recovers, and to Larry, and to Pat, who are with him. We place a stone in these waters for those joys and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts, and a stone for those who could not be with us in community today. I invite you now into a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation. And I invite you to just relax and notice how the seat feels under you, and to feel the air on your skin and your clothes on your skin, and to be aware of the sounds around you. We open our hearts and our spirits and our minds this day to that still, small voice within ourselves, that voice within ourselves which we hold faith in our ability, faith in our strengths, and faith in our failings, faith in this community and faith in the world, particularly when that faith is called into question. Trust is not easy. It is messy and murky like water in a bog. And yet as necessary to life for all that it sustains and holds and gives. May we forgive ourselves for those things that we have done that we feel bad about. And may we forgive others for those things that they may have done to us. And in that forgiveness and compassion, may we bring healing into the world, like a stone dropped into water, rippling out, affecting everything near it. We offer blessings to the Milner family and to Dorothy as she walks into the light and on her way, and to all those experiencing loss and grief and pain, to those living with illness, with uncertainty, and with pain. May they know that they have the love and care of this community. May they be able to lay at our feet in this space their pain and their struggle. And to a world at war, in a world of violence, in a world where children struggle to find solace and home in Europe and the world over, we offer our presence and our care. We offer our blessings to those congregations that have been experiencing the defacing of signs and even receiving threats in the face of their support of Black Lives Matter. May they know that we are with them and that they are not alone. And in this day, we lift our hearts up. For even with all the struggles we face, all the pain, all the sorrow, the forgiveness and the uncertainty, we live in a time of grace and compassion and hope. Hope is faith in what's possible. And so we celebrate the gifts of children, the gifts of elders, of laughter, of being present with joy, of saying yes to life. We offer gratitude for the beautiful waters outside and for this amazing place in which we get to live. And we say yes to life. I invite you now into a moment of silent meditation, prayer, or contemplation. And as we come back into this space, embracing this broken world that we most wholly love, may we embrace one another and embrace the world. I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in and out. Now, so your neighbor can hear you, in and out. Do that so you take a deeper breath. So your neighbor can hear you in and out.
Thank you.
Each week, we take a collection from the bounty of this community. As you give to our collection plate this week, please take a moment to reflect on these words by Heather Christensen. Unitarian Universalism is a grand vision of a world filled with peace and justice and love and joy. That vision is embodied in a few large congregations, numerous mid-sized congregations, and many, many small congregations. No matter its size, every congregation depends on each of its members. Each one of you, by your commitment of time, energy, and resources, helps make that grand vision real. Individually and together, we are Unitarian Universalists, building a world filled with peace, justice, love, and joy. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
Join me in the offertory blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. I do want to say that because the seizures last so long, we've called 911, so if you hear an ambulance, it's okay. We just want to make sure that he's checked out.
Okay. Our reading today is from the Unitarian Universalist Pocket Guide in the foreword, written by MSNBC host and Unitarian Universalist, Melissa Harris Perry. Our faith as Unitarian Universalists is not a specific claim about a particular God. It is not found in a single book. It does not rely on claims of our inherent specialness as individuals or as a people. Our faith is messier. Our faith is a belief that we can embrace the common good through how we interact with one another by holding fast to our precepts of inclusion, participation, of intellectual humility, reminding us of our own limitations. Our faith assures us that we are not alone and that we can be part of something greater than ourselves.
What's written on the cornerstones of the building outside? Folks know? The year it's built. It also has some quotations on it. One God, one faith. And what's the other one? One God, one shepherd. It's important to remember that not 50 years ago, this was a Christian community. In fact, in the time when Dorothy Milner and her family attended, she signed the book when she was here in 1940. This is the woman for whom we had our memorial service yesterday. And all of her family, there were, 20 family members who signed our book, all going back to Anna D. Sparks. They were Christians. It's important to remember that this is born out of a Christian faith. Are we Christians today? Huh? Could be. I like that. I wanted to make sure I got that. Some of us are, yes. In a way, yes. A lot of Christians would walk into our worship service, and at least culturally, it looked kind of familiar. We sing weird songs, and we quote weird stuff, but the kind of order that we do things, and the fact that there's a minister who gives a sermon, kind of looks very Christian-y, doesn't it? That's because that's the heritage of this community. And of course, it isn't the only thing we do. Of course, what did we do last solstice? We walked out of here and we did a spiral dance, right? Don't know a lot of Christian churches that do pagan spiral dances, so we have some diversity in what we believe and what we do and how we experience faith, because we believe that every community, every person, every religion has a piece of the truth. That's what we teach our children and youth, right? Everyone has a piece of the truth. Unitarian Universalists, growing out of that Christian faith, started to ask the question in the late 1800s, do you have to believe in Jesus to act like Jesus? Do you have to believe in Jesus to act like Jesus? No. In fact, Theodore Parker wrote this really controversial paper in which he said just that. He said that you did not need to believe in Jesus to be a Jesus-like person. In fact, all you really needed to do was do good things. How many of you try to do good things? How many of you try to do bad things? Sure, you wouldn't admit it even if I asked. But by and large, we have good intentions as people. But we're also human beings, right? So we are bound to stumble and fall flat on our faces now and then. How many of you have said something hurtful to someone you love? We've all done that, right? Did you feel guilty afterwards? Yeah. You may still have meant it, but you still may have regret saying it or doing it. It's because at our core, there's so much that is possible. Because we are, at our core, mindful and loving beings. According to Sally McFaig, who writes about theology, she says that it has to have two basic criteria. And theology, what does that word theology mean? Study of God. That's the old original context, right? The thing about that word theos is we're not sure if that translates quite as God, because we don't really know quite what they meant back then. It gets lost in translation, as so many things do, okay? But the thing that we do know is that when they were talking about theos, they were talking about a sense of ultimacy, something that was beyond humanity, whether that was a god or a being or a spirit or whatever, something beyond us. And so what she says is that theology has to have two basic criteria. It has to make sense, and it has to make a difference. Does our faith make sense? Yeah? Some days? Does our faith make a difference? Some days, right? We have hope, we aspire to make sense of our world and to make a difference in our lives and the lives of those around us, right? So, what makes sense to you? What makes a difference in your life? For Unitarian Universalists, we gauge these things differently from person to person. Every person here today finds value and makes a difference in their own unique way. As Unitarian Universalists, we look to six sources of our faith. Anybody know what the sources are? You can be like Mary and cheat. Right, well, one is the Christian and Jewish traditions, heritage, right, which includes the Bible.
Direct experience.
Direct experience. Read the whole thing. Direct experience of what? Wonder. Direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder. That's kind of big, right? And basically it says we look out for the stuff that looks cool and is very pretty. It's good stuff, right? looks cool and is very pretty. You can remember that even if you can't remember transcending mystery and wonder. You can think, all right, does it look cool? Is it very pretty? Is it beautiful? What else?
Prophecy.
Humanist teachings, science and reason, right? In fact, Unitarians, you know how they started believing in one God instead of three? They used reason when reading the Bible. Now, 50 years ago, even 150 years ago, the Christians in this church believed in using reason to understand Jesus and to reading the Bible. We still believe that today. We use reason. We think it through. What else?
Prophets and philosophers.
Prophets and philosophers. Those brave people who give us wisdom, which range everywhere from Muhammad to Amos to Gandhi. Huh?
Socrates.
Emerson, Thoreau,
Martin Luther King
Jr., maybe even Martin Luther King, depends on who you are. Notice there's a lot of men being recited here. Who are other prophets?
Maya Angelou,
good.
Rebecca Howe.
Mary Oliver. Mother Teresa, Mary Oliver. One of mine we heard this morning, Annie Dillard.
John Dewey.
All kinds. Who else? Or what are our other sources? We have one more. Two more.
Spiritual teachings and earth-centered traditions.
Earth-centered traditions. Where are our pagans? Do we have any pagans in the room today? I know we do. Yes, our earth-centered based folks. And, of course, the world religions. We looked at Islam and Taoism and all these different things. We call ours a living tradition, a living faith, because we don't believe that revelation is sealed. What that means is, you, each and every one of you, are a comma in creation. There are a lot of commas in this room, that's right. We are the capital letters at the beginning of sentences. We begin anew. We are the continuation of a journey of wisdom, of experience. Revelation is not sealed. It did not end at the end of what is called the New Testament. It will never end, even long after human beings are gone. For the universe is forever in creation. Nothing, something out of nothing. If there is anything I have personal faith in, is that something comes out of nothing frequently. But I also believe that matter cannot be created or destroyed. Energy is always there. And so as you go forth this week thinking about what do you personally believe, think about it in complicated and messy ways. And think about, if I have this faith, what does somebody else's faith push me to also understand and learn into and grow? Because it isn't enough to believe what you believe. Your neighbor and what they believe matters too, right? In fact, they may know something you will never know, and you can't know unless you open your heart, your ears, and your mind. May it be so. So, with Rachel leaving us today, I happen to know that she really likes our closing hymn. So our closing hymn today is Life Calls Us On. Please rise as your spirits and bodies allow.
Thank you.
to turn across the chandelier towards your neighbors. This is your most sacred community. I want to first offer my gratitude to Pat and to Larry for spending time with Mike. The EMTs have taken him. They know him well. He's not a new thing for them, so they're taking care of him. He's okay. And so I offer my gratitude to both of them because I know that can be a scary thing to come to do in the middle of worship on Sunday. And that is exactly why we're here. Look at this community. We are here for you in times of struggle and fear and uncertainty. We live our faith just as Larry and Pat did today, by supporting one another, by being with each other in those times of uncertainty and trial, by having faith in each other, trust in ourselves and what is possible. So go forth in trust, in grace, and shine that light on the world. It needs you. May it be so.